and choir. Trav, I'm just going to have you run it. We were trying to do something different this morning with me running on my phone. We did it a little bit in the first service just because some of the things I was doing, but we're having a little bit of interference. Before we get going this morning, let me just invite you for need that's in our congregation. If you have a place that you know of, either yours or somebody that you know that's looking for a roommate, we have somebody in our congregation, a female, who needs a place to live desperately. And so if you can help with that need, you can let me know. John is in the back, our chairman of the deacons in the red jacket. You can let him know after the service as well. You can write it down on your little tear-off, but that is a serious need, and we would ask if you could help with that. That would be greatly appreciated. Thank you for the birthday wishes this past week. I did turn 38, and so I'm thankful to the Lord for his goodness in my life. Thanks for the cards and the love. And I'll just leave it at that. I was going to say, anyway, let's pray. Oh, Lord, this morning we ask that as we gather together, we do so not just to do a habit or something to check off list, but Lord, we're asking that what we do today, what we're doing these moments would truly be transformative. Lord, we want to meet you. We want to encounter you. We want you to do a work in our life. Lord, we recognize that many of us as believers, we're not a finished process. And Lord, there's a lot of areas in our life where we need work. We need sharpening. We need refining. And Lord, today what we look at in James is one such area. So Lord, we pray that you will, Lord, you'll show us some areas in our lives that need what James is saying. And Lord, we'll take it as fatherly love and rebuke and correction and instruction. And Lord, that we'll be more like Christ because of what you teach today through your word. Lord, that's our desire, to encounter you, to be changed by you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to share a story as we get going this morning about some newspaper journalists back in 1899. So let me just get you to put your mind and your hat on, right? This is before Twitter, before CNN, before Facebook, okay? So these four newspaper journalists in Denver area for four major newspapers had a mandatory submission of a deadline. They had a paper they had to write. And the problem was there was nothing going on that was worthy of note. They were in a train station. They were waiting to see if any kind of celebrity would come to town. And towards the end of the night, the deadline was looming, and they didn't have anything to write. So one of them says, hey, you know what? Why don't we just make up some story about something that's going on far away? Hey, what about we pick China? I mean, nobody really goes over there. Nobody knows what's going on in China. So let's make up a story. So they decided they were going to write a story that China was looking to tear down the Great Wall and that they were taking bids from nations to come in to help them do this. Well, they thought, well, that's very far-fetched. Who's going to really believe that? Who's going to check up on it? Whatever. So they got their stories together, and each one of the newspapers in the Denver area published this story, if you want to call it that. And one headline said this: "The Great Chinese Wall Doomed. Peking Seeks World Trade." That was the idea. They want to tear down their wall because they want to become more open to trade, right? Well, obviously, that headline caught the attention of newspapers in New York, in the East Coast. And so they ran with it. And before you know it, information was spreading to China about this. Well, how do you think the Chinese felt? They were a little irate about it. But the problem was, there were some individuals in China that were already mad about the involvement of embassies and these foreigners that were coming onto their land. So with this misinformation, these individuals started attacking foreign embassies, and hundreds of missionaries were killed. Over the next few months, six different nations sent troops, some 1,200 or 12,000 troops, into China to protect their people, to protect their embassies. Any idea what that's called? The Boxer Rebellion. Now, for some of you, maybe you remember learning about that in history, but for us, the point of that is that whole incident occurred because four individuals decided to make up a story. And that story caught fire, and it brought about a ton of destruction. This morning, James is reminding us in chapter 3 about the danger of our tongue and how it can cause great destruction. Let me just remind you about the book of James. Remember, if you had not been with us for a while, we worked our way through the book of Galatians and very theological, salvation's by grace through faith in Christ alone. And then we've looking at James, and James is really a book that's saying, look, if I'm a believer in Christ, how should I live? What does authentic faith look like? Not pretentious faith, not just that I'm saying I'm a follower of Jesus, but what does it really look like? And what we saw last week specifically, it was probably the most theological of all of his texts, was this: we're not saved by works, but our works display that we're saved. Remember that? So we talked about. And so here in chapter 3, what James is saying is, one such area where you should see dramatic change in our life if we're a follower of Jesus is in how we speak and what we say and how we communicate to others and about others. But what he tells us in this chapter is this, that although it's an important area of our life to try to watch over, it really is very challenging. The tongue is very hard to control. Turn with me, if you will, to James chapter 3. As we read the opening verses, you can follow along on the screen. James chapter 3, we're going to begin in verse 1. James says this, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast, of bird, and of reptile, and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue." Amen? "It is restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water." Earlier in James, in chapter 1, verse 26, he said these words, "If anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless." What he's getting at in this whole chapter, this first section, is this. If you say you're a believer in Jesus but you're not transformed in what you're saying, you better check to see that you're in the faith. So what James's point is, and what we're going to look at this morning, is this. Though small, our tongues are capable of great damage. Though small, the small organ in our mouth, they are capable of great damage. Notice what he says in the text. He gives two examples. Verse 3, that of a horse. Now, I don't know how many of you go out to the Polo area and you see those horses, but they're big and they're strong, aren't they? Living in Kentucky, seeing those Kentucky Derby horses, I mean, their legs are powerful. And aside from the whip, they also put things in their mouth. Why, right? And you're able to control this powerful beast by a rope and by this little thing that's in its mouth. You pull on it, you turn it side to side, right? I mean, Kathy, maybe Taylor can give us more insight, but that's really the way it works. This large animal, this small thing controls it. Then he gives another example of this boat, big ship. And at the end of the day, what controls its direction is that little thing in the water that if you turn it this way, it goes one way. You turn it this way, it goes the other. Very simple, right? And what he's getting at is that these big, large instruments, events, people, things are controlled by something very small. And for us, so often our body is controlled by that little thing in our mouth called our tongue. Very dangerous. Look up at the screen with me for a minute. Some of you may remember this image, right? Remember this guy? Anybody remember what? Hold on, don't switch it yet. Anybody remember what he says? Yep, my first group couldn't do it as well. Right, go to the next slide. Yeah, only you can prevent forest fires. What's he talking about? Maybe it's this big campaign, right? When you're camping, you've got to put your fire out. Because if you don't do it, that little campfire can cause a significant fire. How often do we hear about those fires in California? That somebody flicks a cigarette out of the window and it's really dry and it catches an entire hundreds of acres on fire. Or somebody left a little campfire and it just goes out of control and before you know it, huge fire. The Chicago fires, which Moody talks about, remember when he says, I wish I would have given an altar call that night, I wish I would have called men to Christ, but the fire bells were going and I let people go home, right? This huge fire in Chicago. Do you know how it started? The story is this cow kicks over this lantern as it was being milked in a barn, and it caused this great fire to destroy. 250 were killed, 17,000 buildings destroyed by a little lantern kicked over. Just think with me for a moment how our tongues often ignite major disasters and fires. Can you think about it in your own life? You've said something, communicated to somebody in such a way that it caused great destruction. Think about politicians, how often they speak and they say something, then they got to go back on. Is that really what you meant? All parties, they all do it, right? And something they say can have dramatic impact. Even today, how President Obama talks to the Russian leader is going to have significant impact. Or what he says in some simple report would get back to Russia. Think about your own life. How often have you said something that's hurt your wife or your husband? How often have you said something at work that's caused somebody else pain or harm or destruction? Maybe how often have you been the person who's experienced harm because of what somebody else has said about you or about your department? Right, it is amazing. We're able to train, go to SeaWorld, all kinds of animals, and yet we cannot control our tongue. Isn't that amazing? Well, what are some of the ways that we speak? What are some of the ways that we use our tongues that cause damage, destruction? Now, these aren't, you know, the whole list, but these are some of the ways that we start fires with our tongues. One is through flattery. What's flattery? Right, flattery is when you say something to a person that you wouldn't say behind their back, meaning it's not really true. You're just saying it to them because you're trying to build them up, maybe. But really what you're trying to do is you're being deceitful. You're lying. You're trying to make yourself look good. You want them to think something about you that's not true, right? Any of you ever tried to flatter somebody? It has selfish motives, doesn't it? You're trying to get something. Oh, baby, you look pretty. Right? Where flattery, on one hand, is what you say to somebody to their face that you wouldn't say behind them, gossip is what we say about somebody behind their back and we don't say it to them. Anybody in this room ever been affected by somebody's gossip about them? You see, in our minds, what we think is, I've heard this, it's not gossip if it's true. That's false. It doesn't matter if it's true or not. And you know what we as Christians like to do, right? We like to couch it as, oh, I need to pray for them. So then it gets brought up, oh, well, I want to lift up a prayer concern. Yeah, the other day I was talking to my friend on the phone, and they told me that, you know, Travis and Allison were having marital problems, and so we need to pray for them. We're not having marital problems. I'm just using me as an example, right? But you know what I mean? We're not really praying about them. We just want to share gossip, share news. And sometimes it's not even true. And it's very damaging. But we think we're being spiritual because we say, well, let's pray for them, when that's not really our heart, and the Lord knows that's not our heart. Sometimes we cause fires when we slander others, lying about them, hurting their name. We say things that are not true and misrepresent their character or what they've done or what they haven't done, right? Again, selfish motives, selfish reasons. Oftentimes, so many of these things we do with our tongue, it's to help us and to hurt others. Now, we may not say it verbally, I'm trying to hurt them. But at the end of the day, that's what we're doing. We're putting them down so that we're being lifted up. We're saying things that are evil or bad about an individual that hurts them. We use our tongues to lie. Again, for us as Christians, we like to say, well, it's just a little white lie. It doesn't really matter. No, to God, lying really does matter, regardless of how little we think it is. Jesus calls Satan the father of lies. And when we lie, we're acting like our father. And when you read scriptures in Revelation and in Romans, coupled in there with all the biggies that we like to hammer, are those little things like gossip and lying and slander. And those who practice such things won't inherit the kingdom of God. I want you to know that these things are serious issues to the Father. And if you've been transformed by the power of the gospel, we shouldn't have lying lips. The Lord detests lying lips. Another way that we cause fires is when we try to demean other people, put them down. Have you ever been in a situation where you've heard somebody berating, hurting, speaking very abusively towards another? It's very uncomfortable, isn't it? So often, maybe this is verbal abuse, husbands towards their wives. Guys, there's nothing more that your wives like than when you speak honorably and truthfully to others about them. And even sometimes we try to couch it as comedy. Oh, my wife's a terrible cook. We're saying it, but we mean it. We're demeaning them. We're putting them down. Does that build your wife up? You think that helps your relationship? We do it. And sometimes it gets very aggressive, very verbal. Say it towards our kids. Causes fires. What about accusations? Stating things that are true in a critical way, even though they may not. Sometimes we even do it through innuendo, right? Lastly, criticism. Finding fault in another person. And how often are we critical of our own brothers and sisters in a church? Man, that music this morning really stunk. Man, that pastor, he went so long. I don't even know what he was talking about. Who in the world does he think he is getting up in my business about tithing? Right? Did you see what Sally was wearing? Where does he think this is? The club? right? And we're doing it with the holier than, we're coming across as if we're righteous, but what we're really doing is we're using our tongues in such a way as we're just lashing out at others. And they may not even know it. Again, notice what he says in verse 26 of chapter 1. If anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. If you call yourself a believer, but you're not controlling your tongue, you need to check to see that you're in the faith. If you constantly are berating people, critical of people, lying, and you're deceptive, and you're just being using your tongue in such ways that's always stirring up dissension and disunity and fires, you need to ask yourself, am I really a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is my faith real? Keep your finger here and look over at Matthew with me. Matthew chapter 12. You can also look on the screen. Matthew chapter 12. I mean, Jesus takes seriously our language and what we say. Look what he says. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. That's kind of what James is saying, right? I mean, how do these things come out of, how does good water and bad water came out of the same place? You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance, look, here's the point, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good. The evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. That's it for that slide, James. Do you get what he's saying there? When you are using your tongue in such a way that you're being critical, slanderous, lying, what it's showing is at the heart of it, what's in your heart. That's what comes out. And notice what he says there in James chapter 2, verse 9. The hypocrisy of so many. With this tongue, with this organ, this muscle in our mouth, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. Do you hear what he's saying there? How is that possible? Is the Lord, Lord of your mouth or not? How can we sing a song like, How Great Thou Art? Or in the first service, we sang, I Exalt Thee. But then that same mouth will turn around and be critical of some other brother or sister in the congregation, or critical of your wife, or lie about somebody, right? How is it that we want to lift up our Creator and at the same time we pull down and we bring destruction upon those whom He's created? That's what James is saying there. The good news is, just as our tongues can be used for evil, they can be used for good. But it requires training. Ultimately, what we should be using our tongues for is to lift up Christ and to encourage and bless other people. Let me ask you this. You got two people you can hang out with. Debbie Downer or encouraging Eddie. That just came to my mind. Guy and girl doesn't make a difference, right? Just names. Who do you want to hang out with this afternoon? The person who's critical? Person who's always, Or the person who, that's great. How many of y'all seen the Lego movie? Again, different crowd, right? In the Lego movie, there's this little man. He goes and he says, everything is awesome. How would it look? I mean, who do you want to be around? You want to be around the person of, man, that was a great lunch today. And not being fake, but just that's who he is. That's who she is, right? Man, I'm so thankful for Don and his ministry and how he leads us in worship. Man, I'm so thankful for my Sunday school teacher, Vicky, and how she just brought the word today and studied and invested her time, right? I'm so thankful for the nursery worker who gave of her time or his time to watch my child. I'm so thankful for my husband that he let me sleep in this morning. Oh, wait, we don't want to lie, right? I'm so thankful of my husband for, whatever. I'm thankful for my wife. But we can use our tongues in a way to honor, to bless, to encourage others. And that's our challenge. What God desires us to do is to use our tongues in such a way to bless, to encourage, to lift up. So what are things that we can do? One, we can speak the truth in love. Now look, it doesn't mean you can't ever be critical. It doesn't mean you can't ever call somebody to give an account. But your heart's attitude should be, it should be done in such a way that it's with love and not because you're trying to be vindictive, not because you're trying to get them, not because you don't like them, right? But speak truth in a loving way. We can also avoid gossip. And sometimes in our mind we think, well, if I'm not the one who's gossiping, I'm okay. No. If somebody's gossiping, and they're gossiping to you, and you don't say anything, you know what they think? You agree. So for us, when somebody starts gossiping within the church, at work, in your family, wherever it is, we have the opportunity to try to lift that other person up. Well, you know, I don't know what all is going on in their family, but you know what, this is all the more reason we should just, you know, encourage them or try to stop it. Or, you know, if you've not really talked to them about what's going on in their family, you probably don't need to be talking about it, right? You just kind of put an end to it. Or if you have a problem with what pastor's doing, you should go talk to him, right? Whatever the dynamics are. Trying to extinguish fires rather than cause fires with our tongues. We can choose and ask the Lord to work in our heart that we wouldn't speak evil against a brother. James goes on and he says this again in chapter 4, verse 11. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks evil against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. And another way of saying that is, whatever you do unto the least of these, you do unto me. Do you recognize that when you lie about another person, you slander another person, you speak ill of another person, especially a believer in Christ, in some ways you're speaking ill, slandering, gossiping about the Lord? Who saved that person? We can withhold our tongues from crude talk. Jokes that are inappropriate. Things that you would never say here, we say all the time where we work, don't we? Sometimes to the very people that are in this room. It's like for some reason we don't want to say them here because we know they're not appropriate. Well, if it's not appropriate, it's not appropriate. But we get crude, sometimes our cursing, sometimes the content of what we say. We can withhold. Ephesians tells us that in Ephesians 5. To avoid that kind of language. Guys, again, let me just ask you this. Some of you talk about your wives to those whom you work with in such a way that you would never talk about your wives if they were standing right there. Oh, pastor, you know that's what we do. Yeah, but do you recognize that even though she's not there, you're still putting her down? Or wives, when you say that about your husbands? We can ask the Lord to help us not to lie. Lord, give me a mouth that speaks truth. Let me use my tongue in such a way that I don't fudge, that I don't make things up, that I don't exaggerate, but instead I just want to speak truth because you're the God of truth. We can ask him in the end of the day, Lord, would you make my mouth flow with grace and a blessing towards others? That's really what we should be praying, right? Lord, I want my mouth to be used in such a way that I encourage other people, that I bless other people in what I say, that I'm lifting them up, not tearing them down, that I want them to know that they're precious in the Lord's sight and I value them, and so I'm going to honor them in my language, whether it's your family or a brother or sister in Christ or an evil employer. It's easy to love those who are lovable, but we're more like Christ when we love the unlovable, right? Our enemies, those who do wrong to us. What would it look like if you blessed your boss who constantly puts you down, who speaks ill of you or speaks ill of others, right? You know what that's doing? Is it when all the other co-workers around you are speaking that same way and you're speaking different, they're going to notice that. And again, it's an opportunity for the gospel You see, the problem is for so many Christians, we act just like the world in every aspect of our life. Nobody ever asks us about, as Peter says, about the reason for the hope that's in us, because we don't act any different. They don't see it. But if we start using our language differently, to bless, to encourage, to lift up, people will notice and they'll ask us, why is it you say those things? You know what, I want to be around you because you're encouraging, and you say, the way you use your tongue is a powerful blessing. So let me just close by asking you this question. How do you talk? How do you use your tongue? Do you use your tongue? Do you use your language in such a way to bless, to speak truth, to lift up, to encourage? Or, if honest, would you say that you use your language, by and large, that you're a person who puts down, you're a person who slanders, you're a person who gossips, you're a person who does those things that we've talked about this morning? Let me just remind you of this. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew? Out of the heart, that's where we speak from. So if you find yourself struggling with how you speak, maybe you need to say, Lord, I need you to do a work in my heart. I need a change. Some of you need to apologize to your wives or your husbands today, and you need to say, you know, I want to commit. Look, that's hard. I know it's hard, but for some of you, can you imagine what it would look like in your marriages if you went to your spouse today and you said, you know what, I have not spoken highly of you, or you know that I've hurt you in things I've said, and I don't want to speak that way anymore. I want to bless you. Would you help me with that as the Lord helps me? Can you imagine how your marriage might change? So, guys, we're so stubborn, we won't do it. It'll bless you. The Lord will bless you in that. How do you speak? Remember that the way we speak is revealing our character. And I would be remiss if I didn't give this. This last one I'm going to share as we close. Look, for some of you, this is the danger of the whole book of James. Is because it's talking about how to live authentically, you'll say, okay, all I got to do, just do these things. That'll make me right with God. That'll make Him accept me. If I just quit doing talking this way and I start doing these things, then I'm good with God. That's not what James is getting at in his epistle, and it's not what the gospel teaches. Just because you do outward obedience doesn't mean you're saved. The only way that you're saved is by believing in Christ, by saying, I've sinned, I've fallen short of God's glory, there's things that He's called me to do that I haven't done, and I deserve death, but I'm believing in Christ, the one who hung on the cross, who bore my sin, who gives life to me by trusting in Him. I'm repenting of my sin, and I'm trusting Christ. That is the only way that you're made right with God. All of our works are filthy rags until Christ is our Redeemer. And then, once we're believing in Christ, and we have a new heart, then God says, look, I want to see the fruit that shows you're my child. But please don't leave here thinking all I got to do is go out and do something, because that's not the gospel. The gospel is Christ has already done it, and dying and raising up and promising to come again. So for some of you, the issue is not change your tongue. The issue is, Lord, change my heart. I need you, Lord. Will you save me, Lord? For the others of you here today, as we started off, and with that example of that bear, let me just remind you, only you, by what you say, can prevent fires. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we confess to you again as we come to James. It hits us, Lord, because it shows us what you're calling us to. Lord, and for so many of us, we just kind of walk through life and we say we're believers, but we don't really dedicate ourselves to true holiness. But Lord, James is calling us to guard the way we use our tongues. Lord, we train other things, but Lord, we haven't been good at training our tongue. Lord, would you work in us this week, today? Would you begin causing us to be cognizant of what we say, of how we speak? Lord, when the temptation comes to use our tongue in a way that defames, Lord, instead that we would use our tongues in a way to exalt, not self, but others, and you, O Lord. Lord, would you also move and work even now in those who need Christ? Lord, would you not allow them to think that they're okay by doing external works, but Lord, would you show them they need Christ? And Lord, would your Holy Spirit be so heavy on their hearts that they would feel this overwhelming conviction and they would feel this overwhelming call to have life, forgiveness through Jesus. Lord, we love you. We're thankful, Lord, that you who began the good work in us will be faithful to bring it to completion. So Lord, cause us, your children, to be more like Christ in how we speak. And how we bless. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. This morning is Don, and it leads us in a song of response. I'll be here. You'll see around the room some of the deacons will be here. You can pray with them. Maybe you just want to go and say, look, I need to know, how do I get right with God by faith in Christ? Would you pray with me? Would you show me what I need to do and how to repent and how to believe? They can pray with you. I can talk with you. Maybe some of you just want to come and you want to say, Lord, you know what? I've not used my tongue in a way that's honored you in my marriage or at work, whatever. And Lord, today I want to put, as Don was saying earlier, I want to put down a stone. I want to put down an anchor that today I'm going to be different. Lord, would you work in my heart? Maybe there's just something else you need prayer for, the Lord's working in your life on. You want somebody to pray with you, we'll be here. But as we sing this song, would you ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do with what your word has shown me today? Let's stand and respond as he leads.
Our hymn of commitment this morning is Change My Heart, O God. Potter, I am the clay. You are